Nicole, I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so obviously I met you on Facebook, thanks to Nandini, but it was a little bit of a sad occasion because you were, you know, and I want you to talk a little mm-hmm. bit about that. I'm a big advocate of, you know, championing other people. And especially, you know, businesses that were struggling or are struggling, I like to try to help in any way I can. I think that's important. We all got to help each other, right? So I want you to tell your story, and then we'll get into what you're doing now.
The story of the post?
We'll start with the post, okay. And then lead up to how, you know, you got to where you are today.
Yeah.
Okay. So the post I had put out was that all I want for Christmas is to stay in my business. Yeah. Because what's happened in my business is it's evolved. So the end goal, the audacious goal for probably most creatives is that they want to be international. So yeah. I was able to accomplish that, but in accomplishing that, I ended up becoming unapproachable to local business. So,
wow.
And local business, most people know in business is your immune system as a business,
yes.
Because the international world is just too volatile and there's just too many people and you lose your home base. Mm-hmm. You kind of lose everything. You lose your foundation. So,
yeah.
But I started, I've been in wedding planner for 16 years.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's my sweet 16. So I worked really hard. I'm from Saskatchewan, a really small farm community in Saskatchewan, and yeah. As soon as I graduated, I went right to Toronto. I knew since I was 8 years old I was gonna be a wedding planner, so
Oh my God. Yeah,
we had no wedding planners. I didn't know what they did. All I knew is that I saw this movie and I was like, I'm gonna do that one day. And so I told my dad that, and every month he would go to a corner store, the same corner store, and he would get they'd give him all the magazines off the shelf, the wedding magazines that were gonna get thrown out for the new ones to come.
Wow.
And they'd give him cases of these magazines, and he'd come home and with these, and I was 8 years old just flipping through these.
So you've been manifesting this since you were 8.
I'm like studying it, everything about it. And I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know it was going to be a job, but I knew that's what I was going to do. So I graduated. I went right to Toronto, and everybody thought it was the black hole and I wasn't ever going to come back. And it was kind of like the black hole. But so I started there, and then I worked my way up. I came to Edmonton because it was the land of opportunity in the events world. Everywhere I Googled for the whole world where I could move to next in advance, everything that kept coming up was Edmonton.
Really?
And then, yes. And then I backpacked in Peru because it was the festival. It's the festival capital of Canada.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm just learning something about our city.
So everywhere I Googled, everything kept coming up as Edmonton. And then I was backpacking through Peru and I met this guy. He was like one of the people doing the Machu Picchu trek.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'm actually moving to Canada. I'm moving to Edmonton. And I was like, okay, there. I'm moving to Edmonton. That's a good
sign.
Yeah. And I met him here too, and he was at a trade show working, and he did make it here, and
wow.
He's a Peruvian. So I came to Edmonton. Yeah. Yeah. So now I, my business has evolved, and like, mm-hmm. it's the audacious goal of being international. So I take on 6 to 8 couples a year, and it's mostly like the high end luxury level.
So when you started and actually graduated and you came to Edmonton, mm-hmm. did you start off with luxury wedding planning, or how did that evolve?
Because the thing is, in Canada, we're so behind. I mean, now that I've done international things, I realize every country believes they're behind, and that we all think everybody else has it figured out, and none of us has it figured out. But once I started doing weddings in the States, mm-hmm. I realized that like what we thought was luxury and what we thought was high end was nothing. Like we were
really?
So behind on the trends. We're so behind. We don't have the infrastructure. We're too new. You know, we just don't have what they have everywhere else. So that kind of opened this Pandora's box of wow, I can really evolve my business. So that really started happening. It was actually during COVID. So COVID happened. I never worked so hard for so little money in my whole life because
really?
We kept to keep replanning weddings. So my couples didn't cancel. They just kept adjusting.
Okay.
But now you're replanning every wedding 15 times and you can't charge them 15 times.
Oh.
So it was like pennies we were making. And I worked so hard and I just thought, I'm never going to work this hard again in my life. And I realized like the skill set that I have and the education I have, I could be doing these luxury weddings. I could take 6 couples a year and make way more money than I was making doing 50 weddings every year. And I'm like, I have got my kid. I can spend time with her. Like, I don't want to. So I just, my whole mindset shifted and there was no going back. Like it wasn't an option to do what I used to do because I would rather work, you know, at like a Walmart or something instead of managing my own business and doing these things if I was going to work that hard. So it really was 2020 when it just took off that way. And I just, from there, I said, I'm never going to do coordination again. I'm going to do all full planning and full design. And everybody said, you can't do that because we don't have a market for it. And I thought there's no option because I'm not working as hard as I was working for no money.
Yeah.
So I started just saying that's what I was doing, and people I never got a call again for coordination, and it was always full planning. So now you see other planners evolving their businesses to full planning, which is interesting. But it was really 2020 that that took off. So I'm the principal producer and the creative director for Nicole Louise Couture.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I want to talk about, you know, being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, any stage of this entrepreneur journey. Talk about some of the challenges or, like, you know, some of the negative experiences that you had that maybe kind of taught you some lessons. Maybe talk about that.
Well, I think the biggest lesson I learned was get out of my own head.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always thought it was where I lived, the people I was surrounded by, which I guess do contribute to the box that we feel like we're in.
Yeah.
But I realized eventually that especially during COVID, I was like, that it's only what I'm telling myself. Like, we're never going to be better than what we tell ourselves we are.
Right.
So once I started telling myself, no, I have the skill set, I have the education, yeah, I can go and do this stuff. The whole world is one flight away.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden everything changed.
So really? Me, myself, was the biggest barrier.
Talk about that. How did you get past that barrier? And, like, what were the outcomes of that? Like,
Well, I got past it because there wasn't an option to go back.
Right.
The things I was risking was time and sleep and time, like spending time with my kid and money and my future. And it just, like, wasn't an option anymore to do it that way. But it was really the colleagues that I have in the States that kept saying, like, but you could have these beautiful weddings. You just have to pay the extra $600 to ship it to Canada. And I'm like, why have I been telling myself that everything we have or everything we see online is for everybody else and not for us?
Yeah.
You know? And that's the biggest challenge, is that now people, they think, I feel like I've become unapproachable that way, where people are like, they always say, well, we can't afford her, so we're not going to call her. But my fee is the same price as everybody else's. But we could have this beautiful international luxury design in Edmonton for the same price you're paying somebody else anyway. Yeah. It's just a different skill set and a different mentality and a different, different barriers, you know? And so that's the biggest challenge in my business, is that regardless of being charismatic and friendly and having great relationships, my own friends and family won't even ask me because they feel like they're wasting my time or they can't afford me. Right. And when I ask them, like, well, but you didn't ask. Why didn't you ask? They're like, oh, you're too busy, you know? And so that assumption is what's, like, the killer of the local business.
No kidding.
And even my own weddings, I'd have local weddings and they'd say, oh, you must hate doing our wedding because I was going to France the next week to do this beautiful, like, luxury wedding. And I'm like, no, I love these local weddings. Like, this is what gives me fire. Those, like, it's business and I love doing it and it's creative and it's energizing and I love being international. But without the local community, you essentially have no home and you can't. Yeah.
So, you know, let's talk about your business. How, like, I want to know detail wise and the steps, like how, you know, because, first of all, I've never been married, but for somebody, you know, our audience here who are planning a wedding, maybe abroad or whatever, you know, kind of give them a glimpse of what.
So usually the people that come to me are young professionals who have their own jobs. They don't have time to take on, like, 1,000 hours of planning.
Right.
And they also want to enjoy their engagement instead of bickering with their families and their friends and their spouse. So they come to me. What we do is, if they have a place in mind, whatever it is, usually people have some sort of idea of where they want to go.
Yeah.
But we work out their budget. We find locations. We find the experiences that they want to have. We find the environment for what's in their head. So if you kind of think about it, like when you're a little kid and you're staring up at the sky, just like watching the clouds go by, and you're just like in this other world, and, you know, like time pauses. And it's just for that second, everything's so perfect and so still.
Yeah.
That's what we want to create with weddings, is like, for one day, we have the ability to bend the universe to our will to make that perfect pause in time. And that's what we create. So, so when they come to me, we figure out all the nitty gritty of budget and expectations, what's important, what's not important, so that we know where to focus the budget. Mm-hmm. And from there, we build the environment, or we go to the environment. So when you do international, it's best because when you have a real situation you want to create, because we don't have to fight against the elements. We're not trying to create a stage space in a hotel in Canada. We can just go to Italy and instantly everything's around us and we're immersed in it. So, and once we're immersed in things, that's where the core memories come from, you know? And I think as the world is so heavy, the best part about this is that, like, people always have this anchor to, like, that time that there was this utopia for them, you know?
Right.
And it's like the thing that keeps them connected and keeps them feeling like they can always come back to that place, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my brain's going as you're talking. So, you know, we're talking about all these locales. Are you experienced, do you need to be experienced, I guess, in the location, or what do you do beforehand? If somebody says they want to go to, you know, whatever, Timbuktu to do their wedding, do you do research beforehand? Like, talk about that location experience.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I have because I've been doing this for 16 years, I have a really tight process that yeah. really all I have to do is if I can maintain my process, every wedding is a wildly successful.
Yeah.
So it's all about the research and development in each of those countries. So mm-hmm. like when I did one in Guatemala, I'm like, okay, we'll go to Guatemala, but yeah. I need to know what's the risk of people traveling? Can we have inclusive? Can we have the LGBTQ
yeah.
community there? Right. Can we have, like, we have to look at all those things That's and see true. How we'll be welcomed in that country. This one in particular was a tented venue out in the middle of nothing on the coast of Guatemala. And it was their dream. And I'm like, if you feel like you want it, like I can build this, and the more logistics and the more chaos, the better for me. Like I thrive in that. Like I love knowing that the things that were impossible in somebody's mind, I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And I can
just present it to them. Yeah.
So site visits are always like a must because we need to know about the bugs, mm-hmm. about the weather, about the traffic, right. about the community that's around that area. It's one thing to Google, but I mean, yeah. as yeah. we all know, it's always highlight reels on yeah. the internet, unless yeah. you're in like the dark end of it.
Right.
Yeah. So we always do site visits. Mm-hmm. We always talk to the locals. The area that we're in, I always go when I meet with them. So I have an 80% sustainability mandate, mm-hmm. social responsibility mandate, yeah. sorry. So that means every time I go someplace, we're hiring staff from that community. So I need to know when we go to that community that we have people available to us that yeah. we can skill build for them. So maybe they end up in hospitality. Maybe they get inspired yeah. and they go to the States or Canada yeah. for education, whatever it is. But we always, 80% of the staff is always from that country. So we skill build that way. And then we also learn, so much. We right. learn they're invaluable because they're our connection for everything. Yeah. Without those people, we don't, you know, like we can be as friendly and nice as we want,
right.
but like we're not from that culture and we don't, yeah. you know, the language will be different and yeah. the nuances of how they do things is different. And we always want to be respectful when we go into these communities.
Yeah.
So the site visits and building those relationships yeah. is key for any of that success rather than, you know, showing up and be like, oh, we're the North Americans yeah. swooping in and we're going to do something pretty and then leave. It's yeah. just not the same. It's not just responsible to do it that way
for
in
sure.
communities. Yeah. So
yeah. Yeah. Again, my brain was going. So you know, developing those relationships. So if there's a country that you didn't actually, you know, ever visit before and they want that wedding mm-hmm. there, how do you build those relationships? Like you just, do you cold call or how do you start creating those relationships, you know, for the wedding?
Relationships are my favorite thing in the whole world. So, and I, everything's a flight away. So yeah. I literally get on a plane and I go there.
Just like
every single time I've gone there by myself yeah. and I'm like, hi, this is what I am. Here's what I want to do. And they're so good. They're always like, come
really?
To my mom's house. Let's sit down and talk. And then we make friends that way. And then from there, they're always like, and this person, and this person, and this person. And before you know it, the entire team, the entire plan is like figured out in like 2 days.
It's like a domino effect.
It's always been like that. Yeah. So I'm fully aware that like, that's amazing for me because you couldn't possibly pay for the education to become charismatic
yeah.
or to build relationships
yeah.
and goodwill that way.
Yeah.
I obviously, like now I understand that that's not a normal everybody
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So I'm fortunate that way that's yeah. not my block in business, uh-huh. you know? So I just use it to my advantage.
Yeah. Wow. That is,
I always
gosh.
Do it that way.
And if it's a place that's more developed,
mm-hmm.
then, and there's a venue that is really beautiful and we think it'd be great, I always meet with those people
yeah.
as well. Like I'll go to those people and I'll say, who
yeah.
do you love working with? Like,
yeah.
how do you see this going? What's a benefit to you? Because I don't
yeah.
ever want to go in there and to make it one-sided. Like
mm-hmm.
I want it to be as enjoyable and beneficial for them as it is
yeah.
for us. Like I'm not willing, like I don't want to just go and
yeah.
take from them and yeah.
Wow.
So they always really appreciate that. So because that's where I'm coming from, they're always like, yeah, let's work together on this.
Yeah.
So once you have partnerships versus hired people, it's
yeah.
a lot different, the dynamic and your
well,
success
that's a
of the
point.
Whole thing. Yes.
That's
and you'll always
point.
Go back and they're always become like a family
right.
to you in that place.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now I'm thinking about, okay, so that's the success part.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the fails. So, you know, I guess your lessons learned from when you were at a location, you know, where I'm assuming some, you know, the, obviously the process doesn't go very smoothly, right? So you must have had some interesting, you know, tell me about some funny stories, tell me about some like stressful, you know, challenges within the planning at a location.
Yeah, I think the most, it's like some countries you go to in Europe, we're so work ethic focused here.
Yeah.
That like if we have a job to get to, we will figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
And we'll get to our job and we'll clock in, we'll clock out, we'll do our job.
Yeah.
In Europe, I never expected this, even doing site visits. Every single person there is like, yeah, we'll do that. We'll be there. But then the day of, they're like, well, who's picking me up?
Oh.
So you have an event and you're like, where is everybody? Nobody's shown up to install this. And they're all like, well, nobody picked me up yet. And I never anticipated that. That was the biggest thing. So now every time I do something in Europe, I'm like,
yeah.
we need a van that's literally going to drive around. We're mapping it out and they're picking everybody up
right.
and bringing them here because that's just the culture there. Like
yeah.
they just, that's what, it's not everywhere, but France, it's predominantly
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah. yeah. And you always have to, I never timed The first time I went to Italy, it was different. I went there and you come from a place of expecting customer service, right? Yep. That's really just North America.
Yeah.
Like customer service is king in North America.
Oh,
you go outside of North America, it's not the same. It's different. It's a different dynamic. They don't appreciate their hustle bustle.
Yeah.
If you go to France and you're walking around with a coffee, they know instantly you're a tourist because they don't do that there. They sit down and they enjoy their coffee. They enjoy conversation. They're not always go, go, go. And they don't appreciate that energy either.
Wow.
So yeah. Second time I went to Italy, it was a whole different ballgame. I called. I knew I need at least 4 hours to even talk to this person because they're going to tell me to come over to their mom's house. We're going to have pasta. It's going to be a whole thing. Yeah. My business evolved because of that, right? Like once they appreciate that, like you're not coming in and trying to impose your culture on them, that you want to absorb their culture. Yeah.
I like that though. That's great.
We should be doing that because that's how you build understanding across the whole globe is by learning.
Actually, you know, that's actually a good point in the business world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to teach people how to, you know, not just try to sell to the customer, but actually get to know them as a person. And that's what you're doing. You're learning about their culture, their family, their whole life.
Yeah.
It's about the person. Oh my God, the human factor. I love it.
The other thing is too, like, I'm aware that like we're all, every single person is the solution for somebody's challenge.
Yeah.
Like regardless of if they are on the streets, if they're the king of England, like, you know, everybody is a solution to somebody's problem. Yeah. And so I'm a solution for theirs. I just want to know what their challenge is. And like, we could make their life better by doing that, whatever it is with that event.
Yeah.
And so are they for me.
Yeah.
There was one person through Switzerland once was, I saw them hitchhiking. There was a man, a woman and a kid. And I was like, well, they probably won't kill me because I got a kid with them. So I was like, I'll pick them up. So I picked them up and we're driving into Italy. And I was like, the florist had like MIA'd. We had no florist for this wedding that was coming up. And I'm like, this is wild. And they're like, oh, what are you doing in Italy? And I was telling them, because I was going to Lake Como.
Yeah.
And there was no florist like for this wedding. And I'm like, I always fix the problem before I tell the couple. Like, I'm never going to call the couple and be like, hey, by the way, your florist is missing.
That's a good point.
Yes. I'm going to fix it. And I can say, your florist is missing. Here's the new person. And that's it. They all just move on and it's better.
Yeah.
And this person that I picked up said, oh, you should call my friend. He probably can help you. So I drop them off at home. I call his friend. His friend owns the biggest weddings. Floral supply chain in Italy. And he tells me, you helped my friend, come in, pick anything you want. You can take everything. Yeah. He sent designers. He gave us the flowers. We paid nothing for it because I picked up his friend.
And that tells me, like, look, you didn't judge the people that you picked up. Like, you just like, okay, like, this seems like, and the fact that they had a contact for you.
Yeah.
Like, you just never know.
Never. Every opportunity I've ever had internationally came because I just spent the time to listen to someone and to like talk to them and make some sort of friendship with them.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, you got my heart.
I know. The first time I ever went to Europe at all, like the first time ever I got an opportunity there, came because I ended up hitchhiking. We were on our way to Dallas for this wedding. They stop in New York and we sat there on the plane for like 2 hours. They're like, okay, everybody's got to deboard. It's 5 in the morning. No, 3 in the morning. So we all deboard and we're like, now what?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you got to wait till the kiosk opens at 5. And we're like, what are you talking about? And so this old guy that's on this plane with me or sitting there with me, we're all talking about like what we're supposed to do. And he's like, tomorrow's the biggest day of my career. He's like 80. He's like, tomorrow's the biggest day of my career. And I was like, well, then we need to get to Dallas. And right then, as we're talking, this guy's walking by and he's like, I got a buddy in Queens. He's got a van.
Oh my God.
Yes. And we're like, well, that sounds safe. Let's do that. So his friend shows up to the airport from Queens with his van and picks us up. There's 6 of us that pile into this van and he drives us. I found a flight in Boston that we could all get on and get on time and still get to Dallas on time. So 6 of us get in this van. We drive through the night. He's a Turkish guy. His Turkish wife made us like the best food ever.
Oh,
we ate this food all night. The guy did it for free, just drove us. He gets us to Boston. We get on our flight and we get to Dallas on time. We get off the plane and we're all like, okay, that was weird. So I guess, are we like best friends now? What do we do? Then one night I get a call. It's like 3 in the morning and I get a call and it's from Paris. And I was like, well, that's weird. I should answer that. Turns out one of the girls that's on this van, she was one of the official photographers for the Queen. And she had an event coming up in Paris for the Austrian royal family.
Wow.
Yes. And she said, I have to put the team together and I have to get their security checks and all this stuff. And I think you'd be perfect. I had no idea who she was. Like, she was talking to me. We were talking about our lives. We weren't talking about our jobs.
Wow.
And And she
perfect in what sense? Sorry, I'm trying to grasp what's going on there.
She knew that I was a designer and she knew my personality and she knew that I'd be a good fit on the team because she had to put the design team together that would for security checks.
Yeah,
and she said, I can't tell you anything that's going on, but you need to do a security check because it's at the Ritz in Paris. Yes. And so I did all my things. And then after we passed, she's like, okay, here's the job. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if
so
I never hitchhiked. Yes. I was like, if I never hitchhiked, I would have never had that opportunity.
Well, because that's why it threw me off. It was like something different from weddings, wedding planning.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It was like all the things that lined up to that.
And that's what it's all about, really. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. You could write a book on all your experiences. Yeah. That's amazing. So, yeah, let's shift to the positive now. Like, you know, we talked about your business. What do you got in store now? Like for future plans.
Yeah. I want to keep doing all the global work because I absolutely love it and thrive in that. Yeah. What I want is the local community for me to be accessible to the local community. Yeah. I want them to stop feeling like I'm too expensive, that I'm not, that I'm too busy, that I wouldn't be interested in their stuff, because I am. And first and foremost, why can't we have things in Canada that we have across the whole world? Because Canadians look at it and they're like, that's for everybody else. And we do have planners here that do beautiful weddings, but the predominant mentality about it is that it's for everyone else.
Yeah.
And it's not. Like, I just want people locally in my, like, that's what my whole year is focused on now, is telling people my fee is the same as everybody else. Yeah. Call me, because we can make something that looks like Martha Stewart would pick it up.
Yeah.
But we can do it here, and it's affordable. You know, it's not, it's, people have like a lot of assumptions, and it just kills. It kills their dreams. It kills businesses. Yes. Because we can all thrive. We can all have this beautiful thing that we want, but we're not, you know.
And I think what helps too is educating people and kind of telling, this is like, you know, so this podcast hopefully will help. But so so since that post in December, what has happened?
So that post in December, I'm thankful for you, grateful for you. So many people shared that. It was like 200 and some people had shared this post that I could see. So I couldn't see the runoff after that. Yeah. I could just see like from the ground zero end. Yeah. Which is incredible.
Yeah.
So I thought, this many people are looking at me, so if I need to put my money where my mouth is right now, and I have to like at least honor that people want to support my business. So I was like, what do I have to do to fix this? I thought, my whole strategy is going to change. I'm going to tell people this is accessible. Yeah. Stop feeling like it's not accessible. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I rebranded my business from Sugar Plum Couture Events to Nicole Louise Couture Events.
Nice.
So my business really evolved from a business to a brand.
Yeah.
So now it's more relationship focused versus when you hire a business to do a wedding. Now they're hiring me, and I'm invested in this, and like, we're gonna do it together. And I'm stage five clinger, so these people are gonna be in my life forever. So that all evolved. So I totally rebranded, changed how I communicate. So before, it was all, I was really accomplished focused, and I was really excited that all these things were happening.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that to people, it looked unattainable.
Right.
You know, when they're like, but I'm not getting married in Lake Como. So it became irrelevant. So I just need to do more local stuff and.
Okay.
More communicating locally, that like things like this podcast and telling people that I'm here and that they are my immune system. They are the most important people in my business.
Yeah.
It's not the internet, like beautiful things overseas. It's just beautiful things. It's just things. It's all the superficial things. It's not my home base. And like, I need people to understand they are still my home.
Yes. Wow. That's incredible. I'm so glad that, I was able to help them. So
huge driving factor. Huge.
Kind.
You shared these things, and people that I had no idea who I was like, that's amazing. Let's share this stuff. And people, because of your post, people were sharing your posts. And, you know, because you could see all those things.
Oh, that's good.
But it was like hundreds.
That's the power of supporting entrepreneurs, supporting each other, right?
Yeah.
So a key thing that I stress, and I'll continue to, if I see any posts like that, or, you know, someone comes up to me and say, I don't know what to do about my business is failing, I'm going to try to help the way I can, right? So...
And it changes the trajectory of everything.
That's awesome.
Yes,
that makes me feel so good.
Because I could have felt alone, like nobody cared, and this is just what it was, and it could have just stayed there. But people like you that are sharing it, like you open those doors and you poke the holes in the things and you're like, you let that light in.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then people are like, well, people are supporting me.
Yeah.
I think it goes both ways. Like if you're not if you wanted just someone, there's leaners, you know, and there's proppers, right?
Yes.
Like if you're going to prop me up, I'm absolutely going to be in. I'm going to do everything I have to do to not let those people down that are trying to support me. You know, you can't just... expect it to land on your lap.
Yeah,
for sure. Oh my gosh, that's so great. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm getting sued.
Entrepreneurs need you.
Yes, yes.
Because without people like you, we have no voice. You know, we only have our who's in our room.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
But you know, thank you for this time together. And before we conclude, I have a very important question.
Yes, I will do your wedding.
Maybe. No. What matters to you the most?
Relationships, the legacy of, like, you know, in 50 years from now, if people see my name or people to say I was a Nicole Louise bride, I want that to mean something to them. And it's not just the superficial of, oh, I was a Nicole Louise bride, my wedding was beautiful. It's that they, to them, they knew that I'm there in their family now. And like, people's moms are always texting me to come over and like, come for Christmas, come do these vacations. Like, they're always doing this. And that's what I love the most. That's the most important to me, is that people feel, because peace begins at home. And I think that if we create the space for people to have that sense of peace, like, it changes everything, you know? And that's what I want to keep maintaining, is those relationships. No matter, you know, I don't want to build a team of 50 people and lose that. I want it to be that it's a Nicole Louise wedding. And
Maintain that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.